Wonderful to see the number that we have out here and the visitors that we have. And if you are visiting with us, if you'll take time to either fill out a visitor's card or even just stopping for just a moment to talk to us and get to know us, that'd be wonderful, because we'd love to have a record of your presence in some way and be able to keep in touch as we may go our different ways. And we're so grateful for your presence. This evening, it's been a while since I've been up here. I've been traveling and preaching in other places, and that's kept me from being up here for a while. But this is a continuation of the series that we've been talking about, talking about abundant life in God. And in our study on this topic, so far we've talked about that God is the only source of abundant life, despite what Satan says to the contrary, and that God has made the only way to abundant life through Christ Jesus. And we talked about that through Christ Jesus, the only way to come to Jesus is faith, that is, belief that he's true to his promises and acting obediently upon that trust in him. And we also talked about that once you have that faith in Christ Jesus, once you believe in him as the Bible defines belief in him, acting obediently, that believers are added to the Lord's church and they accomplish his will by working together, as we sung about just a moment ago. We also talked about the issue of authority, that authority over the church belongs to Christ and Christ only, and that the word that the church is to do is according to his will, not our own. And so as we've been studying the work of the collective body, the work of the church, we've looked at that extensively. But tonight I want to focus in on what is the role of an individual Christian in that body of Christ. And I think that's an important question that we're answering tonight. We're going without PowerPoint tonight because, despite my best efforts, the computer fought me for many hours today and I couldn't get it to work. So I hope that you'll follow along with me in your Bibles this evening as we study this important subject together, and hopefully we can be reminded of some truths and hopefully learn some things as well about what God wants for his body, the church, but specifically the individual members. I want to start in Romans chapter 12. That's what we read in scripture reading just a moment ago, and I want to revisit that passage for just a moment. Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 4, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Now, in the specific context, Paul is talking about spiritual gifts, gifts given by the Holy Spirit for a specific time and a specific purpose. However, I believe the application of this verse still comes to us today. Though we do not have these spiritual gifts, these miracles still present, we still have our individual roles within the one body that is the church. And I will be speaking a lot about the church in a local sense because I'm speaking to a local body. But remember that the local church is just a function of the body as a whole in a lot of ways. So what I will say tonight, as individual members functioning in this local body, will also extend to the health of the one body that is the church. When we talk about the different measures of gifts that we have and the different talents that we have, our roles that we have in the church are differing according to the gifts that we have been given. We are all working toward the same goal in the same body. We are united in Christ, but we are each different members. We're performing different functions that supply the needs of the body. And so what I might say about our individual roles, remember the question is, what is the role of an individual Christian? Well, the answer to that, if I'm speaking generally, is I don't know, speaking to you generally. Now, we could talk one-on-one about what your individual role is, but they're varied. It's varied according to your talent, according to your gifts, and the roles that God has given you. It may vary very much, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. But that is the answer, is that we have varying individual roles between us. And so we have to work ourselves to find out what those things are. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. More to say on this subject about our individual roles. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll start reading in verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. The picture painted here by Paul, he uses this analogy of a human body quite often. He uses it here in Ephesians 4. We read about it in Romans 12. We're about to read about it in 1 Corinthians 12. But often the church is compared to a body. And each individual Christian is its members. In 1 Corinthians 12, we'll read about some being compared to an arm or a leg or a mouth. The idea is that we each have our individual roles, just as in our own body. My hand is made for picking up things and performing tasks, whereas my eyes bring in information. They bring in visual information to my body so that I can process the world around me. Two completely different roles, but without one or without the other, my body does not perform like it should. And so by each member of the body performing what God has tasked them, the body is built up. And it grows in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. And the point is, while I may be given to do the work of an evangelist, you may be given some other work that is complementary, not less important by any means, and certainly as important as me for building up the one body that is the church. And each member contributes to the needs of the body just as our members contribute to the health of our bodies. And so if you have ever had the thought, sitting in the congregation, being here with the local body, that, you know, if I were to just miss for a couple weeks, I'm not that important. Nobody will miss me. It'll be okay. The church will continue to grow. That's not the case. Every member needs to be doing its job properly for the body to grow as it should. Along those lines, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because in the book of Corinthians, we have metaphorically members of the body doing just that by saying to some people, they were saying, well, because I have this gift of prophecy and you have this gift of something else, healing perhaps, I'm more important than you, and we don't really need you for the building up of the body. Again, dealing with spiritual gifts, but still an application I think is important. Read with me starting in verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. As we evaluate what our role is in the church of God, we may be tempted, as these members were tempted, both to degrade others, but also to degrade ourselves. Because I'm not a preacher, I don't really belong in this body. Because I am not able to teach Bible class, I don't really belong in this body. And so on it goes. But we need to remember that each member has a different role, and they're each important. You may not be a teacher. Of course, we'll talk a little bit about believing in your own abilities a little bit later. But let's say, for argument's sake, that you really are not able to teach in Bible class. Does that mean that you're not important? No. Because if you truly are unable to do that, then God does not expect you to do that. Because that is not the role that he has placed you in. By saying that you are unimportant, you are questioning God's purpose for your own life. And no one of us wants to do that. Instead, we are to find the purpose that God has put us into and to do it. Paul's argument here is that no one should feel that they are useless. And no one should feel that anyone else is useless in the body if they are doing their part. Yes, having an evangelist and elders and deacons are very important to a functioning body. But also are important are the classroom workers, the teachers, the card writers, those who fix meals, those who visit those who are sick. And whatever else you may have been given to do, each are important. The body cannot be fully healthy without each member doing its part. A body cannot function to its fullest potential without every part working like it should. Imagine for a moment that you are a professional athlete, and for some among the crowd, that's going to be easier to do than others. I'm kind of in the place where it's hard for me to do. But just for a moment, use your imagination. Imagine that you are a professional athlete, and all of a sudden you lose vision in your left eye. Now you might think, well, they have vision in the other eye. They can still see. You're correct. They can still see. But the fact is, if you're a professional athlete and you lose vision completely in one of your eyes, you're probably not going to be able to perform as you should, as well as you can. In fact, this kind of happened recently. A couple of years ago, maybe a few years ago now, there was a defensive end for the New York Giants named Jason Pierre-Paul. And over the summer, around July the 4th, he was involved in a fireworks accident, and he lost his right index finger. You would think that such a small loss would not make a big deal. But for a defensive end, if you know anything about football, you know that for a pass rusher, your hands are incredibly important to being able to create separation and to get around the blocker and so that you can go to the quarterback. This accident, him losing just his left index finger, or right index finger rather, it caused his production to drop. It caused him to have a very down year while he was adjusting to that. He had to play with a club on his hand. A lot of things changed for him. And he's since adjusted to that. But he's not as dominant as he once was. And the point is, if any part of the body of Christ is not working as it should, then it has lost part of its effectiveness. And I want you to see that. I want you to understand that. You may think, right now, you may be thinking that I'm just not that important. But you are. You are important to the health of the body of Christ. And if everyone is not doing what they should be doing, then we've lost a big part of who we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be the fullness of Christ as we grow together. If every member's not doing their part, that is going to be a lot harder to do. You think of the body of Christ, and I want to bring in a couple other analogies here. I want you to think of some human workmanship. And all of us are fascinated by different things. I imagine a lot of the men here are fascinated by cars and how they work. Or maybe you like clocks or watches. Or just imagine some piece of human technology that you would love to just be able to take apart and piece by piece understand how every little bit of it works. But imagine that one of the pieces is missing. Does it work? No. A lot of times it doesn't. Or if it does, its productivity is severely hampered. But it is when all things are working together, when all things are working as they should, even human work can be beautiful. I think about Big Ben in London. It's a massive clock. Just absolutely massive. And to see inside and see all the inner workings of that, it's amazing to see what human hands have done. Well, imagine now you're thinking about something that is made by God. Maybe you have a particular animal that you're fascinated in, that you just find beautiful and are amazed by how it works out in the wild. For me, I'm particularly drawn to birds of different colors and different abilities. But you think about that creature. All of its parts, all of the things that God has given it working together. And it's absolutely beautiful. It's absolutely stunning to see what God has created. But I tell you that as beautiful as those things are, whether the work of human hands or even creatures that God has created, there is nothing more beautiful that God has created for man than the church. See, I'm here doing my work as an evangelist. And Mike is here doing his work as a teacher and as a deacon. And Sister Tula here is doing her work by encouraging people and being an example to both people her age and us younger people especially. Sister Tula is a great example. And Tyler here is doing his work. Or actually, he's back there. He switched on me. He's doing his work by growing and equipping himself with the skills that he will need to work. And he's an encouragement to his peers. And I tell you, he's also an encouragement to the older of us as well. In all of us doing our work, we all have different roles. And we're here side by side, working together in unity and in love. And I tell you, that's an amazing picture. And I only used three members, and I got all their permission to do so. But I could sit here and talk about each and every one of you and what you bring to this church and what you bring to the one church, the body of Christ. And it would be amazing and be worth doing. Because we each have something different that we can bring to the table. Even my wife, who I did not get permission to mention, but I'll work that out later. Anybody who knows me and knows Chelsea, that we are completely different people in so many ways. And she compliments me well. She brings out a side of me that needs to be brought out, and she works on putting away the things that don't need to come out ever. But Chelsea compliments me well, and she brings something completely different to the table in her role as a Christian than I do. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a beautiful thing that God has created, that we are one body, but we are individual members. We are members of one another, working together side by side in unity of the faith. And if we're doing what we're supposed to, we're going to be growing together. It's an amazing picture, and I think it's one that we should strive for daily. And that's why when we talk about unity, it's so important. If we're not working together, then we're hampering the body of Christ by dividing against one another. So I say all that to say, as individual members, I can't nail down exactly what is your role as an individual Christian, at least not here from the pulpit. That would take all night. But there are some responsibilities that we have in common, and we've talked a little bit about these in previous sermons, but I do want to talk about them ever so briefly. Some responsibilities that we have in common. We have the responsibility to assemble together, as it is said in Hebrews 10:23-25. We have responsibility to edify one another, to build up one another, in Romans 14 and verse 19. We have responsibility to spread the gospel, Matthew 28:19-20 and Acts 8 verse 3. We have responsibility to bear one another's burdens. In the context of Galatians chapter 6 verses 1 and 2, it's talking about spiritually. But from 1 Timothy 6 and other places, that also means physically, with helping one another. We have responsibility to provide for our own, those who are dependent upon us, both spiritually. We find in Ephesians chapter 5:22-25, and chapter 6 verse 4, and also Proverbs 22:6. And we also have the responsibility to provide for our own physically. We see that in 1 Timothy 5. And kind of underlying all of that, we have the individual responsibility to use our talents effectively and responsibly. Turn over to Matthew chapter 25 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 25. This is a familiar parable, and one that Jeffrey mentioned as early as this past Wednesday, talking about the parable of the talents. And we won't read this all for the sake of time, but you most likely remember the parable, that the master calls three servants to him, and he's going away for a while, and he gives them each according to their ability. To one he gives five talents worth of money, and to another he gives two, and to another one. And you know what happens, that as he is gone, the one with five talents goes out and he buys and sells and works, and he is able to come up with five more talents. And the one with two likewise doubles his. He is now has two more talents. But the one with one talent buries his talent in the ground. Well, as the master comes back, he rewards those who have worked, those who have done well with their talents. To the five, the one with five, he has replicated five more talents, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." To the two, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But then he comes to the one to whom he gave one, who has done nothing but bury it in the ground. And to that man, he calls a wicked and lazy servant, because he has done nothing with what his Lord has given him. He didn't even put it in the bank so that it could obtain interest. He's buried it. And that enrages his master. "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." We have a simple message here as we're talking about our individual roles. We may be one talent people, and I'm highly skeptical of that for many reasons that I won't get into. But say for argument's sake, you are a one-talent person. Well, you should get the same lesson from this parable that everyone else does. And that is, we need to be working with what God has given us so that He is glorified. And if we are not working, if we're not using what God has given us, then we're wasting it, we're wicked, we're lazy, and we are unprofitable to our Lord. And no one should want to be that. So the question is, as we are coming to a close this evening, how do we maximize our effectiveness? How do we work in the kingdom? And how do we become like these men who have taken 5 talents and turned them into 5 more or 2 into 2 more? How do we get there? How do we bear fruit in God's kingdom? Well, number one, I would say, first and foremost, get to work. Don't sit on the sidelines. Don't wait for something to be given to you to do. Go to the work and do what you know you can be doing and should be doing. And I understand that some of us may not be sure what we're most equipped to do. I can tell you that for sure, if you're not sure what you're most equipped to do, you will never find that out by not doing anything. You have to try. You have to be willing to fail, and I know that's hard. But you have to try your hand at different things and find out what you're good at, what you're not good at, and then go to those things that you are most equipped to do in the kingdom. Remember, as we've been talking about, that the body loses its effectiveness by members who are not working. Remember how the man with 1 talent buried his talent only to find rebuke. If we are too afraid to take any risks and work for our Lord, we will receive the same condemnation, but there is no need for that. All we have to do is get to work. Number two, I would say to maximize our effectiveness, we need to be receptive to instruction. Throughout our work, we will find opportunities for learning and for growth. And sometimes that will come in advice and instruction from others. Sometimes those who are older, maybe sometimes those who are wiser, more experienced than us. And we need to be willing to learn. We need to be willing to take constructive criticism to work more effectively. I realize that as an evangelist, I'm nowhere close to where I need to be in order to work the most effectively. That's why I'm here. That's why I am here at South Coleman. I'm here to receive instruction from Jim and from others. And you've all been so kind to offer me advice, and I appreciate every ounce of advice I get. I promise you that. And I'm sure that Micah, as experienced as he is as a teacher, both in public school, but also here as a Bible class teacher, that he has things to learn. He has plenty to learn in order to be the most effective that he can be at his work. And the point is that even Sister Tula, who is much more experienced than I am, and much more experienced than most of us, even she has things to learn in order to be the most effective for the Lord that she can be. If we close our ears to instruction, then we've stunted our growth. We've dulled our effectiveness. And that hurts the body. So we should get to work and we should be receptive to instruction. But we also need to adapt to change. And I think this is important. In my limited life experience, I've already observed a phenomenon multiple times in churches that honestly troubles me. Too often I see members who are content to be pew warmers because they've lost the ability to work in the way that they're most comfortable working. Maybe they've lost the ability to do what they thought they were best at. And this happens especially to older members, but I've seen it in many ages. But the fact of the matter is, we have to accept that in different phases of our lives, our roles can change. And that in order to be effective, we have to adapt to that change. While an older member may not be able to lead singing or be able to teach a class, they will find that they can be effective elsewhere. They can encourage people. They can advise the younger members. They can take some of their time, perhaps maybe they have more free time these days, to visit those who are sick, or writing cards to discourage brethren, etc. This principle does not only apply to older members, though. In the past few years, I've transitioned from a teenager to a young adult, and my roles have vastly changed. You teenagers, you're going to find very quickly that your roles will change. What your role is right now as a young person, it's going to change. And hopefully your workload will increase. And you can either adapt with that and get to work, or you can sit on the sidelines and hamstring the church with your inactivity. Even young single people soon become young married people, and their roles change. And then they have kids, and their roles change again. And so on and so forth. Our roles, as we grow, both physically and spiritually, they change. And our maximum effectiveness comes when we are able to adapt to that change. We have to work in whatever capacity God has given us. For any of us in the audience, whether you're young or old or whatever the case may be, you may be sitting here thinking, well, I'm well adapted in my role. I'm well equipped and I'm doing what I should be doing. I look at some of the younger couples who have children, and I can imagine they would say what I've said, that as you have kids, what you're able to do, what you're most effective at doing, will change. I can certainly say that since I married Chelsea, what I'm able to do, what I'm most effective at doing, has changed. And if we don't adapt to that change, then again, we are making the body of Christ less effective than it needs to be. And that does not glorify God. In closing this evening, I want to look at John chapter 4. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Jesus is speaking to his disciples here. He says, "Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest." And in Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, he also says to the disciples, "Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of harvest, send out the laborers into his harvest." Whatever role you have right now, whatever stage you are in your life right now, as you are here with the church at South Coleman, or maybe at another church as we have visitors as well, whatever church you attend, as you look at the body of Christ as a whole, you may be sitting there and saying, "What can I do?" And I can understand that. But let us not be deceived into thinking for one moment that there is no work to do. We may be thinking, as these men are, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. But Jesus says, lift up your eyes and look. Look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. The harvest is upon us. We need laborers. We need people who will work for the Lord. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. We need more than we even have right now. And what that means is that every hand that we have needs to be working. So get to work. There's much work to do in God's kingdom. Few workers to do it. We have so much we can do for the good of the Lord's body, and I know that we are motivated to do it. So let's do it. If you're not a Christian, you may be sitting here and thinking, I'm not a part of this body. I'm not a part of the Lord's church. But maybe you've seen the benefits that are offered. Maybe you've seen the work that is needed to be done. And you want to be a part of this beautiful creation that God has made for us in the church. And it truly is beautiful. You can come and join the Lord's body this evening. You can be part of a fulfilling and impactful work, the most fulfilling and impactful work that you will ever be a part of. Maybe perhaps you are a Christian and you have not been working as you should. Maybe you've been discouraged thinking that you're not important. Well, right now you can come before the Lord and repent of your inaction. You can also ask us to pray for you, and we will pray for you. Because I've been there. I've been in that place where I felt that I have not had anything to offer, and that was Satan lying to me. We all have things that we can offer. And God wants us to only do our best. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation in any way, please come while we stand and sing.